Since we are meeting after a long gap, let us have some review of what we had studied earlier and then try to connect to the next verse. As you have heard a few times, Bhagavad Gita is a scripture that is told to the disciples right on the battleground. It is on the battleground that this dialogue is taking place. And not only the battleground means this battle has finished or there is still lot of time before the battle is to begin. The battle is just about to start. They had unsheathed their swords. They have just put their arrows to their bows. The battle is just about to begin. As it says, Pravritte Shastra Sampate, the weapons are about to strike now. At that moment, this Bhagavad Gita begins. Arjuna's question, his confusion is put into that question, and that is confusion, that is our confusion. Arjuna becomes representative of all mankind, eager to make their life a success story. And we all want our life to be a success story and not a tale of failures. We want that our life should have a purpose and we should march towards that purpose and achieve it. And there are these moments of confusion, then what should I do, what should I not do, which course should I take? Because there is a variety in which our mind gets dragged by different pulls. We get associated with some people, certain things, and consider those things as well as that association to be permanent and get attached, get mentally involved in those things. Now, what is the nature of those things? They don't remain. Like a wave, it rises, grows, falls. It is not permanent, it is not real in that sense. And when that happens, we are then feeling the grief. It is all passing away, slipping from my fingers. How am I to hold it? There is the desire to hold on to something which cannot be held on to. And that then brings conflict in us. Then there are the conflicts based on our idea of duty. We feel that we have some duty in life and we want to perform that duty. But at the same time, there are attachments, drags, pulls for pleasures which impede our performance of the duty. We all face these situations, and therefore life can be described really as a battle. That all these different forces are acting on our psyche, pulling it, rather pulling is a milder word, tearing it into so many pieces. We don't know exactly what course should be taken up. So, therefore, a confused mind looking for the right direction, proper advice, goes to the teacher. Like in many respects, what we do even in ordinary life. When we don't know how to handle a situation, we go to an expert. Like a sickness that is bothering us. Say, I am suffering from fever, I don't know what to do. Then there are experts out there. You go to the expert and then the expert gives the advice, you act accordingly. So here also we do that, there is this confusion. And we go to the teacher, and Lord is the teacher here, all-knowing Lord. That Lord is giving the teaching here. The conversation is between us and the Lord. We are presenting our confusion to the Lord. Who else can guide us but God Himself? So God, but approachable God. God whom we can feel, who talks our language, who understands us. Not some supernatural being sitting somewhere with whom we cannot connect. Not that being is not of much help. We cannot say anything that we feel to that God. We do are not sure whether that God has listened to us or is that God speaking to us. And therefore, this idea, which in fact the chapter that we are studying now, in that it is greatly elaborated, that the divine becoming flesh and blood, the divine appearing in human form for the sake of I and you who need this illumination in their life. It is a very natural process for us to learn. Somebody who is on our plane, from that person we can learn. It is something that we cannot connect to and we cannot learn. The process is very difficult, next to impossible. So we have to be able to connect. So the Lord tells the Arjuna, the disciple there, who wants to run away from the battle because of the attachments. The duty that he has to perform, he knows that he has to perform his duties, but there are the attachments, and then the mind starts playing tricks. It happens with all of us too. Examples are abundant. One can see, for example, somebody is a judge. And then that judge has to weigh the evidence and clearly see what is happening and proclaim the judgment that yes, this is the crime or whatever has been done, and this is therefore this is the punishment or that person has to get. And that is, the judge knows that that is his duty and he is doing that. But suppose now the defendant is his own son. Now the balance, you know, the mind starts. It is, how is it possible? This is my son. Yes, my call for duty tells me to do this. But my attachment to my son tells me to do something different. And that is what happens, you know, we all judge in that sense. When we judge others, we judge in one way. When the same thing comes to me, it is judged differently, you know, that I feel, oh, this is it not natural? If somebody else commits that thing, then we say, oh, these antisocial people and all that. But if I do that, I take a different view of the situation, you know. That are these mistakes not natural? This is, and one should take a compassionate view of all these things. One should not be so strict in judgment and so forth. So here is a conflict between one's duty and something that one is attached to. So Arjuna, his basic question was about this tremendous conflict. That yes, I know my duty is to just full-fledgedly get into this war, but I am attached to my kith and kin, and I am also worried are afraid that what will be the result of this battle, whether I will win or they will win, who knows. Although there is this duty requires Arjuna to get into the war, fight with his full heart into it, yet he decides mentally after a lot of thinking about that I am not going to fight brings up lot of justification to say that yes, whatever I did was right. That is another special human trait, that we use our intellect many times against our benefit. Even though we know that what is happening is not right, I try to justify instead of accepting that Arjuna doesn't accept that he is taking this decision because of weakness. We don't like to do that. I don't say that I made this mistake. I try to justify. Even if it is brought like a nice, very eye-opening example that one person always used to do many wrong things, and when pointed out would always deny. So once he was caught red-handed, and then he was, I say, you are doing it, why did you do it? It is my mistake, he said, it is my mistake, but a mistake that I mistakenly made. So now that is how the language, you know, a mistakenly made mistake. So it is this kind of justification that we try to bring up. Arjuna, in fact, being a very intelligent person, like we all, you know, we don't lack intelligence. Most of us are very bright, intelligent people. And therefore, we bring up all that justification theories. Arjuna tells Krishna how bad it is to go into war. It is not good to fight. And therefore, it is good now that I have come to my senses, and let me get away from this war. It doesn't matter, even if the others kill me, it's all right. And see, Arjuna's arguments are so nicely presented that while reading, we all get the feeling that, wow, what a saintly person Arjuna is, giving such nice advice. It is true, who wants war? But the situation is completely different. Arjuna is not shirking away from war for any high moral grounds. It was his cowardice and attachment to kith and kin that is making him attachment to his own body, his kith and kin, and also the fear that is making Arjuna waver from his commitment. So, therefore, Krishna sees through. Although you can go on telling everybody, others fool others, but you cannot fool Lord who is sitting right in us. Lord sees our intentions clearly because he is sitting right in us. You cannot deceive yourself like that. Your conscience knows all that. And so, that is the we all have that Lord in us, watching us, telling us, hey, whom are you telling all these things? But still we go on telling our own conscience all those things. But the conscience, it doesn't get befooled like that. So, Lord therefore tells Arjuna, that don't succumb to this cowardice and stand up boldly and do your duty. And then Arjuna, after saying that it is very, very difficult, he understands but cannot act. You see what a helpless situation one gets put in. Very beautifully presented in those few verses of the second chapter. First few verses, Arjuna's terrible condition. That and we all face that when put into that condition of indecision and helplessness and tremendous mental torture. What to do? The time is passing, running away in front of us. Some decision I have to make. If I don't make that decision, time is not waiting for me. It is just running away, that helplessness. I cannot make a decision. And it is very, very torturous. We all experience those situations many times. And we see then that not making a decision becomes a decision then. I don't make a decision. And thus, I lose the chance. So, then whatever has to happen naturally, and that happens, I cannot do then this or that. So, the situation goes on, just becoming worse and worse in life. So therefore, this is important that one has to be very strong. In Vedanta, you will listen again and again this message of strength. And to be religious doesn't mean to be a weakling. It is one has to muster lot of strength and courage. And Swami Vivekananda was never tired of repeating again and again this, that strength is religion. Accept whatever gives you strength and reject like poison anything that makes you weak. Because the strength is the medicine. We all have to be strong. It is because we are weak and we fall prey to temptations. It is because we are weak, we cannot take decisions and stick to it. It is therefore, after telling this, he looks at the situation of Arjuna. That Arjuna's problem is because of these attachments to whatever is really running away. Whatever cannot be held on to, we want to try to hold on to that, which basically is a continuous changing flux. And why that is happening? That is happening because of ignorance. Because Arjuna, like we all, like Arjuna, do not know that what is real. We take this I and the world, this view that we are having right now, to be real. And base everything on that. Now, imagine, you know, that I am seeing, a banana in front of me. I am hungry. And then I feel banana, I should eat a banana. I then go to banana and pick it up. And as I touch it, I see it is wooden. It is not really banana. It appears like that. Now, all that the saliva that was coming in the mouth, that all disappears. You know, there is because the truth dawns upon that it is the view that I was getting was a product of ignorance. It is not real, and the reactions are also based on that. So our idea that I am at this particular limited individual in a body, we feel our existence in this body. We cannot find it in the body. We can go on dissecting and the body to the smallest molecule, smallest particle. We will not be able to find where this I is. But still somehow we feel that I am in this body. And this body keeps on changing. We call this body as I. And that is a big problem. We cannot solve this mystery easily. This changing body and unchanging I. Think of this tremendous problem that all of us have to deal every moment. That it is, we keep on changing. I am sure that I am same. The one who started from home to come to this Bhagavad Gita class. The same person is sitting in the class. Nobody, none of you have any doubt that somebody else thought that of coming to Bhagavad Gita class at Vedanta and somebody else came. No, you know the same person came. But body is continuously changing. Every second it is changing. Maybe on the way you took a cup of coffee and had it and just to think that maybe it will prevent me from sleeping in that boring talk. So, not that it always works. The force of my talk is usually much more than that of coffee. So, it is, but still people will sincerely try that let me drink some coffee and that will keep me awake maybe. Now that coffee was not you earlier, before, if you are the body, then that body, that coffee was not you a little while ago. Now it became part of your body. Body has changed. But are you changing? You are not changing. It is a big complex not to decide this between what is changing and what is not changing. And this is where then the confusion comes. What is my connection with the world? What is I and what is the world? And Lord knows that and this is where really the problem is. There are two ways of treating a patient if somebody is suffering from some disease. One simple method if you are having, say, headache, okay, take this headache medicine, some analgesic, take it, and then by taking that pain-killing medication, your headache goes away. But if the cause of headache is not gone, then it reappears. After a while, it reappears. So that is called symptomatic treatment. It doesn't focus on curing. It provides a temporary relief. Nothing wrong about it. It is required. Don't think that it is wrong. There is nothing wrong if we do not assume that it is a cure. If we know that it is just a temporary relief, nothing wrong in taking it. But if we think that it is a cure, then we are making a big mistake there. A radical cure doesn't see just the headache, sees why this headache is coming. A headache is an outer symptom. But the headache could be caused by increased acidity. It could have been caused by some blood pressure fluctuations. There may be, it might have been caused by some other different day. You will see that in medical testing that there is, are 1001 causes for headache. So you have to find out what is causing this headache and treat that cause. And then the effect also goes away. And this time it is a cure. It is not just a temporary relief, but a cure. So that is what now Lord Krishna is directing Arjuna's this treatment to, radical cure. Find out. And not that he is not giving symptomatic relief. From time to time he is giving Arjuna some dose for that yes, you have to come, start fighting, don't shirk away from fighting and all that. But he sees that the problem is much deeper. And so tells Arjuna, look, you have to understand that all these forms you think that they are permanent and you are going to kill them and otherwise they are going to live all the time, that is not true. It is, look at that, that these forms go away and what remains? That is immortal. You are immortal and the body is mortal. The body cannot be made to live eternally, and the soul can never be killed. So that is why, because we see this soul in the body, we feel that the body also should become immortal. But body by very nature is to just, it is a series of change, that's all. And it has one name of the change is, well, death. It goes from stage to stage, and you have a child, a baby born, and then a toddler, and like that you can see the different pictures, an old man walking with a stick, and maybe on the bed, and then just that body being taken to the funeral. All these different stages you can see, and think of your body in that way, you know. And that, yes, this what I call as my body has gone through all these changes. Some have already happened, some are in the process of happening. Maybe tomorrow, maybe day after tomorrow, sometimes it is already in the pipe. What I mean is that we are already all in the pipe there. So it is today or tomorrow that is going to culminate. And there is nothing to feel distressed about it. It is because the soul is immortal. You are not going to die, you know. Remember, this confusion, because of this confusion, you feel that I am not going to die, this body. I am not going to die, that part is correct. I am immortal. But I am not the body. Body is going to, what, Shivali? Body is going to die. Speak loudly. What is going to happen? Die. Yes. Body is going to die. This self is never going to die. This confusion is to be cleared up. So Lord tells in the second chapter that two words, beautiful words he is using there. In one of those few verses there, that the indweller of the body and the indweller of the body. So body is subject to death. It goes through so many processes. And when one process, one form changes to another, and not that you keep on grieving about it, And so similarly with the death too, no need to grieve. He says that as you see a child becoming a young man, do you keep on shedding tears? Oh, how he became young man? No, nobody sheds tears for that. So that the same process is there, you know. Becomes an old person, and then the form is not seen anymore. So it is just that inevitable sequence in that change. So he says, not really, you need not worry about that. It is sure to happen. Something that is sure to happen, don't worry about it, because it is just changing. Focus on that which has not changed. That I, in and through all these pictures of yours, you were the same. And you will say, this is my photo when I was a toddler, you know. My uncle took this photo. This is when I was a toddler. This is my another photo when I used to go to that primary school. And then this is the photograph, you know, when I got married. This is my photograph, you know, when such and such thing happened. And like that. Different photographs, but whose? Same. That my photograph. We will say it is my photo. Something has remained same in and through all that. And that is what a Lord tells us to focus and separate it from changing. Like once I was traveling with another Swami in the plane, I told that incident, and then as that flight attendant asked, would you like something to drink? And then he first said, no thanks. Then I asked for something. And then he also thought he should also ask, take something. So he asked her, hey, can I change my mind? Since it is my mind, I should be able to change, is it not? And then she said, okay, fine. So my mind, so mind can change, you know. But my, that I, who was earlier saying, no, I don't want, and now says, I want, the mind has changed. But both these minds belong to that one unchanging being. Otherwise, you couldn't see that continuity. The one who said no, now says yes. It is like that. So it is the mind changes. So you do not change by the change of mind. So this unchanging our real self. And then he says that since it is not confined to body, it is not confined to body, it is not confined to mind, it is not confined to any limitation. Now see, what is it that you call mine and yours? The I here and I there, they are not different at all. It is just the water in this wave and that wave. The water is not different. It is the same. The names and forms were different, that's all. And the I is the same one presence, all-pervading one great presence, one big I. Big means all-pervading. Big means not mine is small and another is big. Not that. All-pervading. That one without second. That is what our Lord tells Arjuna. And then Arjuna must have been thinking that is it all sounds nice, no doubt. But still, I see this body as I. Still, I feel pleasure and pain of the body. Is it possible to have the experience of that reality? It is nice to hear, no doubt. Sounds fantastic. But it probably is just a fantasy. Is it going to be a reality? Is that knowledge going to be functional in my life? That knowledge, if it is not going to be functional in life, may be great knowledge, but what use do I have for it? And some medicine might be great. And if Triveni goes to say that, yes, this is a nice medicine, can I get it? And her doctor says that such medicine cannot be obtained by anybody. And then what is the use of knowing it? If it is not going to be practically available, then what is the point? So Arjuna is feeling that, like all of us feel, many of us feel this, that what is the use of hearing all these great spiritual teachings if after hearing for many days also, if our life doesn't make any change, if it doesn't make a dent in my life, and then what is the use of hearing all that? Arjuna is probably thinking on those terms like we think. And so Lord says, now I will tell you how to make this knowledge functional in your life. In the 39th verse of the second chapter, therefore he says, till now I have told you that knowledge has a theory. Theory means not just something spun out of the brain, but the intellectual understanding of the truth has been imparted to you. But now I will tell you how to live your life in the light of that knowledge. How to transform your life so that instead of living the life of ignorance, Arjuna and following Arjuna, all of us will start living the life of knowledge. That much great difference, you know, that yes, you have heard all these great truths, wonderful. You have understood, wonderful. Now, practice is important. Practice will take time. It takes special learning. One has to therefore go in a disciplined way, and that discipline Lord calls yoga. Yoga is the word used in Bhagavad Gita in this with this idea. Yoga means etymologically to join, and joining with what? You can interpret it in various ways. All are right, you know, that many different ways one can understand it. And joining with one's true self, excellent. Or joining with this knowledge that it is one reality. Join with that. And whatever practices one do for that, they also therefore secondarily get the name yoga. Our Triveni used to teach all these different postures. And that is, I mean, America only that meaning of yoga is current. That I am doing yoga means I am doing various different physical postures, standing on my head or all that, you know. Very nice. Do you do Triveni? Standing on the head? Don't do here, but it is. Do you do standing on the head? Shirshasana, is it not? So there are all these different, they are called yoga because yes, they help us to discipline our body, and thus we will be able to get into a higher discipline. It is a step. Like our chat giving a discourse on Hatha Yoga, he also teaches yoga, and he told very nice this statement that if you are not going to practice Raja Yoga, then it is futile to waste your time with this Hatha Yoga. You may be able to get a good body, but it is like buying a nice, great car. You buy a Lamborghini and never drive it, you know. Never go anywhere. Then what is it? A wastage, is it not? You didn't use it at all. You only, what did you do? You just spent your money and didn't make any use of it. So if you make a good body and all that and never used it for the purpose of spiritual practice, then what is the use? It you did not, it is therefore just a wastage, a wrong investment. So it is therefore you have to go to the higher disciplines. As one goes to the higher disciplines, gradually the life starts getting transformed. The first discipline that was told to Arjuna was transforming the work. Because work is the most important first thing that comes to our mind. That, well, spiritual practice I like to do, but look, I am so busy. Where is the time to do it? All the time I have to do so many works, and where do I get time? Maybe once if I become a Swami like you, maybe I will be able to do. Don't be in that hope that Swami also has lot of things to do. It is. So you won't, don't think that after becoming Swami you will get all free time and nothing to do. It is. Many have that idea, and that Swami means no work, and many come to become Swamis with that idea, and then when they see, they run away after a few days. So that is why we are so few in number, you know. It is. Many say that, well, Swami, you have such a nice house to stay in and all this nice food and no work. Wow! You are really living in great luxury. Fine. Why don't you become one? Come on, if it is such a nice thing, become one. It is. That is. It appears from a distance, it appears to be easy. But not really like that. Everybody has to do work. So when you see that you have lot of work to do, question is where to find time for spiritual practice? Well, first thing therefore is to learn to spiritualize your work. Let us not draw a line. It is, one must learn this sometimes or other in life. The sooner we learn, the better. That life cannot be divided into these compartments. This is secular and this is spiritual. All life, whatever we consider as secular, when infused with the spiritual awareness, then that is spiritual. That it is said that some great scientists also sometimes make mistakes, like Newton, a great scientist. One of the greatest human brains ever lived. That Newton had two cats, one small and one big. And so he made it two holes in his walls, one for the big and another for the small. Now, everybody laughed at, then he understood the folly of it, that one big is enough, small could go through the big. But it is, at that time it didn't strike him. So, This is a simple thing that we really have not such two minds, secular and spiritual. It is undivided one mind. Like that story goes that one priest used to give nice sermons, but used to behave very bad with one of his servants. And then he came after giving a sermon and was very abusive to the servant. Suddenly thought, oh, what did I tell in my sermon just now? And he therefore tried to cover it up by saying that, you know, I am telling you not as a priest, but as your master. And then the servant, intelligent guy, he said, well, if this master goes to hell, where does the priest go? It is, the idea is there is not really this secular and spiritual, that kind of division. And this science of Karma Yoga is being developed, that conversion of our actions, spiritualizing our actions by changing the awareness. Do the actions as duties. Then, without attachment, without expectation, let us learn to do our actions. And then those very actions will start becoming spiritual actions. Our whole life will then be spiritual. So that we are continuing with that discussion when we stopped June, when we had our last class, June 19th. June 19th. So that was the 20th and 21st verse of the fourth chapter. So we shall pick up from there and start discussing that next Friday. So any questions about our present this discussion, or we shall conclude with the closing prayers? Okay, so we'll conclude with the closing prayers. गीता सुगीता कर्तव्या किमन्य शास्त्र विस्तरैः या स्वयं पद्मनाभस्य मुखपद्माद्विनिसृता एकं शास्त्रं देवकी पुत्र गीतम् एको देवो देवकी पुत्र एव एको मन्त्रः तस्य नामानि यानि कर्माप्येकम् तस्य देवस्य सेवा श्रीकृष्णार्पणमस्तु।